to the ABB Solutions Podcast, where we address challenges facing our industry and solutions to overcome them. I'm your host, Mike Murphy, speaking to you from Greenville, South Carolina. Today we have Larry Stanley, Senior Development Engineer with ABB Drives. Larry has 37 years working with VFDs and soft starts in many industrial, municipal, and commercial applications. 9 of those years have been with ABB. Welcome, Larry.
Hey, thanks, Mike. I really appreciate being here today.
We appreciate you sitting in on this podcast. Okay, our topic today is variable speed drives in the water, wastewater industry. Pumps, as you all well know, are heavily used application in all industries and can be a large portion of a plant's energy bill. So it's critical that pumps run smoothly and efficiently. To start, Larry, can you go over some of the controlling methods we might see in a typical pumping application?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think where I would start would be the most basic, and that's just a plain old starter, which is a contactor with an overload. Now, you can think of this starter as like a great big light switch. Either the lights are on or the lights are off, and that's it. Well, a starter is much the same thing, only it's much, much bigger. We have an air gap between the AC mains and the motor when the starter's off and then when the starter's closed. Then we have the motor connector connected directly to the AC mains. Now, what makes this a really cool device is it's simple. It's just a contactor. You got a set of contacts and you got a coil. You energize the coil, the contactor closes. You de-energize the coil, the contactor opens. So it's a very simplistic device. It's doesn't take up a tremendous amount of room, and it's easy to troubleshoot. Now, but the decrement is when we line start a motor, we're putting full voltage and full frequency on that motor. And what that will cause in a pumping application is something called a water hammer. When I full voltage start that motor, I'm going to try to bring that motor up to speed as fast as I possibly can. Now, that's going to try to displace the air that's in the pipe with whatever fluid or whatever medium we're moving through that piece of pipe. And that's going to create a water hammer effect when I'm accelerating the pump up. Water hammer can be very destructive. And one of the issues we face in the municipal industry today is an aging infrastructure. So we want to start these motors as easily as we can so that we don't create this water hammer. Now, the other side of that starter is when we stop it. We can get water hammer when we stop it too, because we might have falling water, but anytime that we're pulling that medium back out of the pipe, we're filling the pipe with air. And now we've got water hammer when we're decelerating or stopping at that pump. And it's just as destructive as when we're starting it. So the good thing about a starter, they're pretty simple. They don't take up a lot of room. They're easy to troubleshoot. The bad thing is, probably not the best starting method for a pump in a municipal application, just because it could drive some damage.
Okay.
Well, then, you know, from a starter, I would go over to what we call a soft start. Guys my age, the older generation out there, they'll remember we used to have a lot of electromechanical soft starts. My favorite one was an RVAT, a reduced voltage auto transformer starter. That used an auto transformer. Again, you had two legs going to the motor. And then we would use a contactor to short that auto transformer out. It was easy. It was simplistic. Okay. Wasn't bad to troubleshoot at all. Pretty easy to start up even. They were expensive. They were heavy. And they would take up a pretty good little piece of room. So back in the mid, probably 80s, I think I would say the mid 80s anyway, we started seeing soft starts. A lot of people might say SSRVS, solid state reduced voltage starters. They started coming into vogue. Now, a soft start's really cool because it's simplistic. You have three sets of back-to-back SERs. And we use these SERs to control the voltage that's being applied to the motor. Now, what makes it a soft start is if I can control that voltage going out to that motor, I can control how much torque the motor is going to produce. And if I control the torque that the motor can produce, then I can control the amount of current that's being consumed at that point. Mm-hmm. And that's how it becomes a soft start. Soft starts are used to be they had a great price point compared to a variable frequency drive. They're smaller than a variable frequency drive sometimes. They're more expensive than a starter, but less expensive than a drive, okay? Those are the really good things about them. If I look at the other side of it, The bad thing, and maybe that's not a really good thing to say, the thing that I don't like about a soft start is that you can only get about 92% conduction out of that SCR. And realistically, what that means is we're going to have a loss in that soft start, and it's going to generate heat. And it can be enough heat that we have to do something about it. So typically what you do is you put a shorting contactor. That is, we have a contactor that's in parallel with the SCRs. And we'll bring the motor up to speed with the soft start. We'll come up, we'll get to speed, and then we'll close that contactor and we'll put the motor across the AC mains. So that's kind of how a soft start works. And in some applications, they're a really good solution. The places I don't see them as a great solution, soft starts and generators don't always get along really well. So you always want to talk with your application engineer when you're applying a soft start into a pump application where we're going to have a generator. In another atmosphere, we need to look at, does this soft start give you the ability to control the torque in that motor? Because if you don't control the torque, you're not really going to control the water hammer. So that's something else that I think about with a soft start. Going way back, if we were just looking at speed control, we had a mechanical mains, and that was called an old Reeves drive. They had a handle on the side of them. You crank it one way, the motor would speed up. You crank it back the other way, the motor would slow down. Purely mechanical speed control, okay? Didn't offer you any benefits of phase protection or single phase protection or conversion, no energy savings, probably used a little more energy, but a lot of people had them, and that was the technology. Then, you know, as a kid coming up in the industry, in the 80s, we started seeing the variable frequency drive come onto the scene, more and more, stronger and stronger. Early on, one of the issues with the drive was they were big. They were real big. Think of refrigerator big, even for a smaller one.
Wow.
They were pricey. And in some applications or some instances, those early drives may not have been considered the most reliable piece of equipment in the world. And because of that, our engineers had to specify some bypass mains. And that would typically be a full voltage starter. So you would have a drive with a full voltage starter in the same enclosure. Well, the drive does a fabulous job bringing the motor up and down in speed because we're controlling the voltage and the frequency at the same time. And when it worked flawlessly. But if it failed, then we'd have to go back to the starter, and then we'd have to do probably use some valves to help control and try to make sure that we wasn't getting terrible water hammer in a system. Now, fortunately, as the years have gone by, the size of the drives have come down tremendously. I mean, just, there's no comparison. The cost of the drives, if you look horsepower to horsepower and everything, the cost of the drives, it's more economical. So now our engineers can specify or build a system where we have a spare drive or like a plus one design where we'll have a motor and a drive sitting there in case one of them goes down and we don't have to have this bypass. Years ago when I was a kid, that really wasn't practical because you really couldn't have another giganto drive sitting there and a very expensive bypass arrangement and everything. So the drives that we have today, the technology has allowed us to put a piece of very dependable equipment out into the field that does a remarkable job in the pumping industry.
So, Larry, what are some of the benefits then in the application? What are some of the benefits of using a VFD?
You know, Mike, my opinion here is going to be different than everybody else's, you know, because I look at these solutions based on being a troubleshooter. I started my career with variable frequency drives, being the guy that had to go out and fix them. I was the guy that you called if something was broke. So my opinion might be a little bit different than some of the other people's opinions. But for me, I want to tell you my opinion, the number one benefit of utilizing a drive is the ability to control that soft starting and soft stopping all the time. It doesn't matter whether I'm accelerating or decelerating, I'm controlling the voltage and the frequency at the exact same time. It's a ratio. It's called volts to hertz ratio. Okay. And today we have some newer algorithms, and they're not new anymore. They've been around for a long time. Vector algorithms, where we can actually control the amount of power or going out to that motor so that we don't ever have to worry about water hammer. The reason I look at this is I know that one of the main issues in the municipal industry is an aging infrastructure issue. We've got stuff that's been out there to say 50 years is easy, longer than 50 years. Sometimes we have valves that people haven't seen for a while, or a pump, and we want to be careful how we're starting those. We don't want to expose this aged equipment to this water hammer condition. Well, with a variable frequency drive, that's never an issue. None. Zero. And it's all because we control the voltage, which controls the torque, and we can control the frequency, which controls the speed. We do that in a combination so that as we're ramping this drive up, we never have an inrush current. Never. None. Zero. The current comes up smooth as silk, and when we're bringing it down in speed, it comes down smooth as silk. That's what makes a drive the perfect starter in a pumping application, in my opinion. That's what I like to look at because it doesn't break stuff. Okay? Now, from there, we have to look. It's not just municipal industries that's going to be utilizing the drive. We have drives in a lot of irrigation applications. And sometimes the pipe for this irrigation applications, that piping might be miles long. And we want to be able to softly fill that pipe. We don't want to push a huge water column. We don't want to be pushing a large water column in through that pipe. So in the drive itself, we have something called soft pipe fill. That's a really neat method of basically filling this pipe, making sure that the pipe is loaded with water, and then we can turn the PI loop on and control, and we never have to worry about having an issue balancing the PI loop when we're bringing it up on startup and everything, or when we're starting the motor from scratch. So the soft pipe fill is a really neat thing. If I'm looking at wastewater, one of the issues that we can have in wastewater is a fouling pump. And brother, let me tell you, nobody wants to have to go out and clear one of these pumps. First off, you've got to pull the pump. That's expensive. It could be downtime. You've got to take a crew. You've got to dispose the waste. You have to make sure your guys are operating in a sanitary atmosphere. There's a lot of negative stuff about pulling a wastewater treatment pump. I don't want to have to do it. I don't think you do either. So in the drive today, we have the capacity to watch that pump electrically, and we can predict when that pump is becoming fouled by watching the speed, the torque, and the current. And we can take the drive and we can say, hey, man, this pump is getting fouled. You want to do anything about it? And we can just alarm and not do anything. Or we can say, hey, man, you want me to clean this pump for you? And I can utilize my variable frequency drive to control the motor to accelerate and decelerate this motor in a fashion that will clear the fouling in that pump. We clear it, we put it into a run command, and we check it. And we can do that as many times as you want. You're in control of that. You set it up, you set the pattern up to clear the valve exactly like you want it to work. It works like a champ. It's a great little item inside the drives for the municipal industry, especially in the wastewater side of it. For waste or fresh, we can do things like a flow calculator. A lot of times we just need to know, do we have flow? What kind of flow do we have? Now, the drive does have a flow calculator in it. It's probably around 15% accurate. And you think, 15%. Well, you know what, Mike, realistically, as long as I know that I've got something there, if I need to be really, really critically accurate, then I'll do something else. A lot of times, though, I just need to know I've got flow. It works great for that. Really good. So that's one of the things I look at inside the drive. If I'm talking about fresh water and I'm talking about a submersible pump, I'll look at the thrust bearings in that pump. And you know you've got to have some water under that thrust bearing so you don't foul it. So inside the drive, when we get ready to start it up, we tell it's going to be a pump. And the drive will just ask it, says, hey, man, what kind of pump are you, freshwater or wastewater? And you say, I'm a freshwater pump, man. And the drive will actually walk you through setting it up so that we can do quick ramps, so that we can quickly bring that pump up to 30 hertz, maybe in 2 seconds, maybe in 3 seconds, so that we protect the thrust bearing. And then we just program in the balance of our ramp times up and down. It works like a champ. It's great. It's easy. Our users don't have any trouble setting it up, and it makes sense to them. It makes sense because we define the pump as a wastewater pump or a freshwater pump. And we do this on the keypad, basically in a spoken language, just like I'm talking to you right now, Mike. Now, it might not say, hey, man, I probably bring that down from West Virginia. But you know what? It does say very clearly, what kind of pump are you and what do you want to do? Those are the neat things when I start looking at it from that side. Now, once that drive is put in place, we got to think about the longevity. And that's going to be driven by the ability to monitor the system. Today's drives are remarkable in what we can pull back. Brother, I can look at the current in all three phases of that motor, all at the same time. If I wanted to, I could take a laptop with a piece of free software, no cost, free. Just download it to your darn laptop. Connect it up with the Ethernet cable, and I can sit there and I can watch all three motor leads. Mike, some people might say, well, I don't care about that. Well, sure you do. Sure you do. If I can watch that current on those three motor leads when I'm doing a startup, I can look, and if I see that current bouncing, maybe I plot motor current against torque, and I'll watch that pump come up to speed. And if I see that pump come up to speed nice and smooth with no torque ripples in it, I know this is going to be a good long life pump. I'm not going to have any trouble with this thing. Maybe I look at it and I see some ripples occurring in the torque. Then I got to go back and figure out what mechanically is causing this problem electrically. The other thing I can do is if I look at that, and I know that's a make it easy for me since some math ain't my number one language, we'll say 100 amps. Let's say we've got a motor that's sitting there and it's a 100 amp motor. And I bring this drive all the way up to full speed to 60 hertz, but I'm not drawing but 85 amps. Is that a problem? Well, it depends. It's not a problem for the motor, but maybe we don't have the flow that we should have because the current in that motor is going to be reflected from the amount of work that the motor's doing. So if I'm down 15% on my current, I could be down 15% on my load. Okay, or maybe 7% on my load. So it can help you understand what is happening mechanically in that system by monitoring the pump electrically. Really cool things. Yeah, okay,
that's impressive. Well, you talked about viewing some of the current regulations, amp draw. What other ways can a motor benefit from using a VFD?
I would compare that against, let's say, a full voltage starter. When we use a full voltage starter to bring the motor up, the motor is going to be exposed to everything that's happening out on that AC mains because the motor is tied directly to the AC mains. If I get a squirrel on the line and I get some type of voltage spike, it's going to go to the motor. And if I have a low voltage condition, if I have an outage, if I have a single phase, everything that happens out on the AC main side, the motor is going to absorb it because the motor is tied directly to the AC mains. The other thing, when I use a starter, I'm full voltage starting the motor. I'm putting full voltage and full frequency. Okay, so what? Well, at that point, the motor is going to be voltage start. So I'm going to draw a very high amount of current coming to bring that motor up to speed. I'm going to have to excite the motor. I'm going to have to break the motor away, and then I'm going to have to accelerate the motor. That's where all that inrush current comes from. And that's what we get when we take a starter and we tie the motor directly to the AC mains. Now, when I look at it with a variable frequency drive, the drive literally isolates the motor from the AC mains. As long as you're utilizing a variable frequency drive that has a true DC bus, if I have a diode front end, if I have a set of bank capacitors, bus capacitors, and then I have my IGBT section, I can utilize that variable frequency drive to isolate the motor from the mains. That gives you several benefits. A drive with a DC bus in it, I could go single phase. If I've sized that drive correctly, I can run forever without incident on a single phase condition. I actually have pump stations where we have single phase power and three phase generators. And as long as we stage it correctly, we bring it in correctly, there's no issue whatsoever. I can either run it off the mains on single phase, or I can run it off the generator on three phase. Not the least uncommon. That's a benefit. If I look at the fact that I'm no longer ever going to voltage starve this motor, I'm going to have voltage and frequency following each other, and I'm going to bring that motor up to speed very gently, okay? And I'm never going to have any inrush current. That's a great benefit. If I've got existing harmonics, let's say I've got some other drives out there, or a bunch of other drives out there, and I tie that motor to the AC mains or the starter, and oh, by the way, this is true for a soft start too, because lots of times the soft starts will have a shorting contactor in it. But let's say I've got existing harmonics on the AC mains. That motor can import those harmonics into that motor, and it will shorten the life of the motor. If I have my variable frequency drive there, once again, that drive is going to isolate the motor from the AC mains. So we get the benefit of being able to ramp the motor up and down with no inrush currents. We get the benefit of protecting the motor in case we have an unbalanced voltage, in case we have a low voltage, if we have a single phase condition. We protect against all that. So there's a lot of benefits for the motor itself, all the way down into the mechanical side. ABB owns Baldor. And I don't know that I really thought about this a whole lot before I got to talk with some of my Baldor friends. But if you line start a motor and you watch the windings inside that motor, and Baldor actually did this for us. They had a small camera and they recorded exactly what happens to the windings inside the motor. When you line start that motor, these windings are literally pulled and pushed. It's dramatic what goes on inside a motor mechanically in the winding when that motor's starting up. If you start the motor once a day, twice a day, four times a day, it's kind of like who cares? In pumping applications, you might be starting this motor up and you might be starting and stopping this motor, 15 times a day wouldn't be unusual, I don't think. In some applications, it might be more than that. So every time that you start and stop that motor across the line, you would be exposing that winding to a mechanical shear almost inside of it. When you start the motor up with a variable frequency drive, nothing happens. It's smooth as silk.
Earlier on, you talked a lot about aging infrastructure. I know that topic of water hammering came up. That sounds like pretty destructive occurrences in the application. So we know ABB is huge in running equipment safely. Can you go over some areas where ABB implements an aspect of safety in their drives?
I'd like to talk about two things, Mike, if it's okay. I'll talk about the drive, but I'll talk about ABB as well. For me, and it's truly a personal note, I really enjoy talking about arc flash whenever I go out and see a customer. My father was critically burned in a mining accident in 1967. I was just a little guy then. And I've always thought that, you know, if I can bring anything to a person, to you, Mike, to a customer, to anyone, if I can talk to them a little bit about arc flash and just encourage them to work in a safe environment, it really means something to me. It really means something to me that ABB wants me to do that. Let's get back to the drive itself. In our industry, in the pumping industry, the municipal industry. For the drive, I look at something that we have called safe torque off inside the drive. My municipal industry, they probably don't even recognize that term, or they might, they could. I don't know for sure. What they do recognize is a term called e-stop. Historically, when we did e-stop, we might have to put contactors in front of the drive and after the drive to provide electrical isolation. That adds a very big cost. Contactors aren't cheap. They're not free. They cost a lot of money. But the real trick is they add footprint. You got to put them during contactor somewhere. Now, the technology that we have with our ACS 580 drive is we have something called safe torque off. And I can configure that as an e-stop circuit for dead man switch. Okay, I can actually put a mushroom switch out on the front of the drive enclosure. And I can, if I operate that switch, I will literally isolate the output and disable the drive from being able to output anything. Very easy to understand. We don't need power contactors. The only footprint that it takes up is the operator that you put on the door. It basically costs you nothing because it's part of the drive design itself. And the really cool thing is it doesn't burn any of your I.O. count. It's got its own input. So we're not going to use one of our digital inputs to program it and use it for a safe torque off or e-stop. So yeah, ABB does. And it's, I would call it the ability to do an e-stop or a safe torque off on the drive without having to add a lot of power contactors or anything.
So we're going to stop here. That's all the time we have. Larry, thank you so much for speaking with us on variable frequency drives in the water wastewater industry. We hope you come back and talk with us on a future podcast where we'd like to discuss energy savings opportunities with VFDs. If you would like more information on variable frequency drives or other ABB products, contact your local ABB sales representative. And if you have comments or suggestions for future podcasts, visit us at us-solutions@abb.com. Larry, thank you. Everyone listening, thank you and have a great rest of your day.